Bible, would you take it? Would you open it to Mark chapter 6? Mark chapter 6 is going to be on page 861 if you're using the Bible in the row in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, when we're finished today, come back to the pastor's coffee in our library. I've got Bibles that I'd love to give to you. It's similar to the one that you're using there, and would love that to be a gift from us to you. This morning, I want to talk with you about the big curse and the little boat rides. We'll see the little boat rides here in just a moment, but first I have to tell you about the big curse. If you've been around here a while, I've talked about the big curse before, and you're going, okay, what's the big curse? Well, from the time I was a baby, I have been cursed. My mom cursed me when I was little bitty, and I've since transferred that curse on to my own family, to Allison, to Jack, and Lucy, and here's really what the curse is. The curse that we live with in our home is noise. We must have noise in our home. And you're going, wow, do you just like have a vacuum cleaner going all the time? No, but when I was a little bitty baby, I had a very difficult time sleeping, and my mom was literally pulling her hair out trying to get me to go to sleep. And so finally, she laid me down in the crib, put a vacuum cleaner next to me, and just hit the button, boom, I am out like a light. And so she's like, thank you, Lord, you've answered my prayers. And there may be some young moms in here just going, the word of the Lord. That is it right there. And so over time, we've evolved, and the curse has evolved. Instead of just having one extremely clean spot right by our bed, we have since moved to this little baby right here. Oh, yes, somebody just is like going, mm-hmm. And you hear that? Oh, that's nice. Sometimes we get it up to two. If we're really feeling crazy, we go up to three. Oh, that's humming now. That's humming now. And some of you are kind of going, oh, yeah, that's good. Man, here's how sick we are in our family. We have been saving and waiting, and you know, you kind of have those bucket list things you want to do with your family. Well, we got to do a bucket list family thing this summer. We did the big Disney blowout, and it was wonderful, and it was great. And Allison can quit her job and just write books on how to do Disney well. I mean, we never stood in line. We knew exactly where we were going, and the one issue that we kept coming back to was we can't have this as a carry-on. So you know what she did? She went to Amazon and she bought a box fan and had it delivered to our hotel room so when we got there, we could crank that baby on. That is a spiritually gifted, wise woman right there. I'm telling you, it's great. It is great. See, silence is just something that we don't do real well with in our home. It's something that I don't always do real well with. Silence is just something that, if I'm honest, it's kind of foreign to me. It's just kind of foreign to me. Can you kind of relate to that a little bit? I mean, is silence something that naturally surrounds your life, or does noise surround your life? And so we need white noise to block out the creaks and the pops and the other noises, or when somebody next door cranks up their lawnmower about 6 a.m. on the one day you can sleep in. That's really godly, isn't it? Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, neighbor. Let me ask you this question. If you had to describe your life right now as silent or noisy, what would it be? Just think about that. Is it silent or is it noisy? See, I think if we were to ask Jesus that same question this morning, his life could be described in the pages of Scripture as a noisy life just by how it's portrayed in the Gospels, in the pages of Scripture. I mean, if that's true, that's one area of my life that Jesus and I look a whole lot alike. We look a whole lot alike because his life was what was surrounded by noise and crowds. And I kind of look at my life and I go, that's kind of my life too in different parts of my week. It's noisy, crowds. I mean, I'm cursed with noise, remember? And so, of course, there are in my life. And maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, me too. Most of us probably deal with the big curse of noise in our life. I mean, we live in a culture that just creates noise. It creates busyness. Anybody go to do a little tax-free weekend shopping this weekend? Mm-hmm. Was that silent or was that noisy? Oh, it was so noisy. Some of you just got out of that. You're kind of still shaking a little bit, just going, I will always pay the tax as long as I never have to go fight for a $10 Old Navy t-shirt again. It's not worth it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, stuff just vies for our time, and it crowds out silence, and it crowds out this thing called solitude. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, the big curse of noise and busyness and stuff can fry our souls if we don't tend to our souls. It can fry us. Can fry us. I mean, how many of you would just go, you know, my life's pretty busy. Anybody? Yeah? Okay, Terry and Larry, and there's a few. Yeah, our lives are busy. There's stuff. The pace of life at times just gets faster than we want it to be. And man, I bet it's just safe to say if we just took a poll and you just kind of let your mind go to Monday morning, there's going to be stuff waiting for you on your shoreline when you get to Monday. If the Lord doesn't come back tonight. Yeah? Yeah, absolutely. There's stuff waiting for me. There's stuff waiting for you. And I just, as I read scripture, I'm just going, that's no different than Jesus in his life. He lived in a noisy society with all kinds of responsibilities that could have burnt him out, that could have fried his soul if he wouldn't have practiced a discipline in his life. But as I study the life of Jesus, I've noticed something that he did discipline himself towards. He made room. Jesus consistently is making room in his soul, in the midst of the noise, creating silence during little times of solitude that I've just called little boat rides. Little boat rides. And I really do believe that it was a spiritual discipline that was an intentional rhythm in Jesus's life. These times of silence, these times of solitude, these little boat rides where he would let his soul catch its breath and just breathe deeply. Kids, draw me a picture this morning. Draw me a picture of what you think it might look like for Jesus to get into a little boat, maybe with a couple of his friends. Draw me a picture of what you think it looks like for Jesus to get into a little boat with a couple of his friends and just have some quiet moments. When you're finished with that this morning, put it on my board. I want you to see what you think that might look like. And today, what I want to show you is this pattern in Jesus's life that I really believe is going to be key for you and key for me if we're going to break this curse of noise so that our souls can begin to breathe, so that our souls won't get choked out and dry up and shrivel up and burn up. And here's the rhythm that I want us to see this morning. Break the curse and board the boat. Would you just say that with me? Break the curse and board the boat. That's my sermon in a sentence right there. Break the curse and board the boat. Look with me in Mark chapter 6. We've been in Acts for many, many weeks. We're going to put Acts on the shelf for a couple of months. We'll come back to Acts 16 probably in first of October. But this morning, I want to just soak in Mark chapter 6, and actually the first six chapters of Mark. You're going, wow, are you going to preach through all those? No, I'm just going to show you some things. And so as we go to different parts of Mark, I invite you to take a pen and either mark them in your Bible or jot down the address of the different scriptures along the way. And this week, you'll have something to really focus on and look at when you're having some quiet moments alone with the Lord. Hopefully you'll break the curse and have some little boat rides. And this is what you can look at while you're doing that. Let's look at Mark chapter 6. Beginning in verse 30, it says this: the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Man, their lives were so cursed with noise and busyness and stuff that they didn't even have time to grab a bite of lunch. And Jesus just sees the curse of noise and busyness building in his disciples' lives. He sees it happening, and he just speaks into that moment and says, boys, come with me in the midst of your noise by yourselves. Let's go take a deep breath and let's get some rest. I mean, Jesus, for all intents and purposes, just said, hey guys, one of the most spiritual things you can do when life's getting real noisy and the curse is starting to build is turn your phone off and go take a nap for a few minutes. That's basically what Jesus is trying to relay to his friends here. And it's really interesting. We're going to see the disciples' response. And I'm just going to tell you right now, they didn't go, yes, Jesus, we know we're too busy. We know we've got too much going on. But Jesus, I've got all this stuff that I really have to get done before I can take a lunch break. Jesus, I've got this deadline to meet. I've got this customer service stuff that I've got to get on top of that needs my attention right now. And Jesus, when things slow down, then I'll catch my breath with you. Then I'll take that quick little boat ride with you. But right now, I just can't afford to do it. Jesus, you need to take a number. That's not what they said. That's not how they responded. Look how Scripture records their response. Verse 32, Mark 6, 32. Look what it says. So Jesus invites them, hey, boys, get in the boat. And verse 32 says, and they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Check that out. They just said, okay, Jesus, you said it, and we see that you're way busier than we are. I mean, you are the Messiah after all. You've got a to-do list a mile long, and you know all about these needs that are present with us here and all this ministry that's going on. But you say get in the boat, we're going to get in the boat. I'm just going to get in the boat. And it says that they got into the boat and they headed for a desolate place. That just means a quiet place, a solitary place, away from the crowds, away from the noise. And man, I just think that's so cool. That is a pattern that we're going to see this morning. They're going to break the curse and board the boat. Would you say that again with me? Out loud. They're going to break the curse and board the boat. The little boat rides right in the midst of their busyness and the noise and the crowd. They're not going to Disney World for a week. They're just talking about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour. And I'm telling you, and I'm going to show you, it's a pattern that we see in Jesus' life over and over and over again. So they get in the boat and they go, and look what the scripture says in verse 33. This is great. So they're in the boat, they're heading out, and it says in verse 33, now many of the crowd, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns, and they got there ahead of them. Whoa, I can big time relate to that. Can you relate to that? I mean, it's like Friday, and it's kind of end of the day, and you're like, I can slip away right now, and you're kind of like doing this, and they all over the cubicle just kind of like gophers just looking up, look at him. And you're trying to just kind of sneak, and they do an end around and meet you in the parking lot. That's what happened right here. Look at them getting in the boat. They're going to the other side. We'll get there ahead of them. That's the scene. I relate to that. I'm trying to slip away or get out or go to from this to that, kind of catch my breath along the way. Maybe it's been a crazy morning. And they do an end around. They catch me on the other side. And Jesus just wants to get away with the guys just for a few minutes. Look how the scripture continues. Verse 34. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Wow. Check this out. Now, if we are called to conform our lives to the image of Christ. And I believe that we are. God's word tells us that. And where does it say that? A place like Romans 8:29. To be conformed to the image of Jesus. So if that's the priority of our life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, and if we want our lives as followers of Jesus to begin looking more and more like Jesus, and I certainly do, and I trust that that's what you want too, then you and I would be well served to see the patterns that Jesus lives in his own daily lives and then begin to implement those patterns into our own lives. And man, when we begin to look closely at Jesus' life, we will see a pattern of discipline in the midst of the noise where Jesus creates little moments of quiet, little moments of silence and solitude. And he breaks that big curse of noise. He breaks the curse and he boards the boats. But check this out. Jesus never shirks his responsibilities. He always comes back to the shore. But he's coming back to the shore even with a short boat ride with an oxygenated soul. Man, it makes all the difference in the world when you meet the people on the other shoreline who did the end around if you're not walking into them tired and burnt and you're walking into them after taking a deep breath with the Father. And I think that's one thing among many things that's so important to notice, men and women, is that Jesus never shirks his responsibilities. Look back in the text. I'm going to show you something over in verse 34 again. We see him landing. He sees this large crowd. He sees the masses. They're approaching him. They're sitting there like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus does something about it. He begins teaching them at their point of need. And here's the really cool thing that we really need to realize about this little boat ride. That this little boat ride that he went on with his friends, even if it was just for a few moments, I'm telling you, it wasn't a one-time thing. It was a pattern that Jesus developed and he lived by as a rhythm of his life. And all throughout the Gospels, we're going to see Jesus stepping out from underneath the mounting curse of noise and into a metaphorical little boat. Sometimes it's a real boat. Other times it's just a moment in time. And he'll catch his breath. And it's beautiful, and it's so freeing when we see if the Son of God took time to oxygenate his fully human soul, you and I as his followers must do the same thing. And what we'll see Jesus doing is the literal Hebrew definition of the word Sabbath, which can be translated catching one's breath. Would you just take a deep breath with me? You just experienced the literal Hebrew definition of Sabbath. Physically. And these little boat ride moments are little mini Sabbaths that Jesus is taking all throughout his life. He's catching his breath with his heavenly Father right in the midst of the noise and the busyness and the crowds. And he doesn't just get into that little boat. He's experiencing spiritual oxygen coming into his soul. He's catching his breath. It's a life rhythm that just comes all throughout, never shirking his responsibilities, always coming back to them, but knowing I've got to catch my breath with God the Father if I'm going to do as God the Son what he sent me here to do. And all throughout our lives, if we don't do that, if we don't break the curse and board the boat as an intentional, consistent pattern in our lives, our souls will detach and our souls will shrivel, burn up, and blow away. But it didn't happen in Jesus' life because he was always in the midst of noise, but he was regularly breaking the curse and boarding the boat. And Jesus, he just has these little boat ride moments of silence and solitude, right in the midst of the noise and the crowd. And Jesus consistently breaks the curse and boards the boat. Let me show you what I'm talking about with our remaining time. Flip back to Mark chapter 1. I just want to walk you through quickly this pattern, this rhythm of life. In Mark chapter 1, you're going to see in Jesus' life noise, busyness, ministry, and then he'll slip away for a little boat ride of silence and solitude. It's really interesting. Jesus never lets his inbox determine the priority of his day. The tyranny of the urgent never redirects his life. He's in tune with the Father, and oftentimes we'll see an opportunity land in his pathway and he'll take it. But there are other times when he won't. His soul is calibrated with his Father's. And so he's just a discerning man, a discerning son of God all throughout his life. Mark 1, 16 to 34. Let me just summarize for you what's going on. Jesus is teaching, and then he exercises a demon right in the middle of this sermon that he's preaching. I've never had to do that. Hope I don't have to do that this morning. But Jesus did that. Boy, that really livened up the conversation at lunch, wasn't it? Man, did you see that? Pastor David just, whoom, whoom, whoom. Man, that was kind of crazy. Happened right there in verse 23 through 26. And then when that's done, Jesus finishes teaching. He goes over to Peter's mother-in-law's house. She's sick. He heals her. Word gets out into the community. Maybe somebody had an iPhone and caught it and then uploaded it, and it just kind of went viral real quickly and everybody's showing up. I don't know. But look what it says in Mark 1, verse 34. It says in verse 34 that, "And he, Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases." You know what's really interesting? The word many. He healed many. Didn't say he healed all. It said he healed many. Maybe he did, but the text says he healed many. What if Jesus left some for the next day? Dad? Mom? Maybe that's the word that you needed to hear today. And when I say there's just never enough time to get it all done, you're just going, "You got that right. Boy, I need a 25th hour in the day." But you know what? It's going to be there tomorrow on your shoreline. And my fear is that your family may not be if you keep cheating them of time that they need to have with you, that they've deserve with you. Sure, we all go through those seasons of our life where, man, it's just a crunch time right now and you're burning the candle at both ends and you do just have to push through. I get that. But that can't be the norm, or your soul is going to burst because you weren't created never to catch its breath. It's just not. You don't always have to get it all done. It's going to be on your shore tomorrow. And the reason that so many times we stay at the office an extra hour is because at the end of that hour, we can measure what we've done. I sent 10 more emails. I made 4 more phone calls. I made 2 more reports. But when I'm at home on time and I leave what's on my desk for my shoreline tomorrow, and I go home and I have that extra hour that I'm supposed to be having with my family, and it's, hey, Dad. Hey, what are we doing? SpongeBob. There's Squidward again. It's pretty cool. What are we doing? Just kind of hanging out. That's hard to measure at the end of an hour. But you know what? That's just relationally making deposits into your family. And if you do that in your retirement account and you're consistent over a lifetime, there's this thing called compound interest, and you're going to turn around one day and go, "Wow, I got enough to live on." And when you make spiritual, relational deposits into your family day after day after day, you may not be able to measure it the same way that you can if you've stayed at the office an extra hour. But I'm telling you, you are setting yourself up for a relational portfolio that is going to be blessed by God over the long haul. break that curse. Board that boat. The responsibilities will always be waiting for you on your shoreline. Pick them back up tomorrow. Why do I say that? Because the text says that Jesus healed many. Didn't say he healed all. Then he goes to sleep, and then he's had a full day of ministry, a full day of dealing with needs and responsibilities and crowds and work. That's the first part of the pattern. There's the big curse again. And he was great with the crowds. He was great with the noise. He was busy. And his life was busy and noisy, and I relate to that. But look what Jesus does here in verse 35. Here's the second part of the rhythm. Chapter 1, verse 35. Watch Jesus break the curse. Watch for this quote-unquote little boat ride of a moment that Jesus steps into. It's a pattern. Check this out, Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed, and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Did you just see that? You go, I didn't see the boat. Where was the boat? It's a metaphorical boat. He's just stepping out of camp. He's stepping away for a few moments. For him, it was early in the morning on this day. And he's just trying to catch his breath with the Father. And when you and I try to begin to model that same rhythm in our own lives, what's going to happen to you is the same thing that happened to Jesus. Watch this. Mark it down. It's going to happen to you. Verse 36 and 37. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. Oh, man. I relate to that. I think back to when Allison had Jack and Lucy, and they were little, and she's a stay-at-home mom. And I heard about it when I stayed late at the office, big time. And she's like, come home. And they're throughout the day, you know, she's, where's my little boat? There's a bathroom. It's got a door and a lock. And she's in there just for a few minutes, and she's just kind of like, whew, and you know what would happen? Mom, are you in there? Hello? Snack time. Elbow's fixing to start. Everybody's looking for you. Everybody's looking for you. Everybody is looking for you. Dad, you try to do that tomorrow at the office. Take 15 minutes in the middle of your day. Take a little boat ride. Walk down to the conference room. Get you a cup of coffee. Just take a walk around the perimeter. And then come back in. And you've been diligent. You left your phone there. Breaking that curse. And you pick it back up. Ooh, 4 calls. 3 voicemails. 15 more in the inbox? Are you kidding me? In 15 minutes? What's your life screaming? Everybody's looking for you. Everybody was looking for Jesus too. Everybody was looking for Jesus too. I'm telling you, it's a curse. So everybody's looking for him. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus. And look how Jesus responds in verse 38. Just the first 3 words that Jesus replies, let us go. Let us go. Let's go somewhere else. They just stepped in the boat. They kind of took off for a few minutes. They're not shirking their responsibilities. They just needed a little bit of soul time. They break that curse and they board that boat. And I'm telling you, it's a pattern that happens over and over again. Let me show you a couple of other quick ones. Watch this pattern. Skip on down to verses 40 through 45. In that first part, a guy who had a really bad skin issue. It's called leprosy. He comes to Jesus. He wants to be cleansed. Jesus responds. Jesus heals the guy. Word gets out again. Crowds show up again. Noise level begins to rise. Here comes the big curse. It's creeping in. Crowds, noise, busyness. They're all on the scene again. Look what Jesus does in the back half of verse 45. It says Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was where? Out in desolate places. And yet the people were coming to him from everywhere. If you just invest some time in the first six chapters of Mark this week, you're going to see it over and over again, this pattern of ministry and busyness and noise and Jesus slipping away for a little boat ride. Jesus just lives the discipline of boarding the little boats of silence and solitude as he's catching his breath with the Father. Let me rattle off several of them for you. Just jot these numbers down. Look in 2:13. Jesus has been doing all this ministry. In Mark 2:13, it says, he went out again by the sea. 10 verses later, in 2:23, one Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields. You're going, grain fields? Where's the little boat there? Well, he wasn't walking on the main road where all the noise was, where all the traffic was. He just kind of ducked out of sight. Took a little off-road, went through the grain fields. He's breaking that curse. He's boarding his little boat, and he's slipping off just to kind of catch his breath for a few moments with God the Father. He's creating a little soul space for his soul to breathe just in the midst of his everyday walking around life. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. Six verses later in 3:13, he went up on a mountain. That's so cool. I love that about Jesus. He loves the mountains. He loves the beach. He just loves getting away a little bit with his guys. Look at Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Then he went home. He just had a little quick staycation right in the middle of the day. Just ducked right in the middle of the day, caught his breath, and then he's back to whatever he was doing that day. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 10. And when he was where? Right there. And when he was, say that word with me, alone. Alone. Mark 4, 34. But privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Mark 4, 35 and 36. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took with them in a boat, just as he was. 5:21. It's just all throughout. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea, and he keeps going back to the sea and to the mountains and the grain fields and ducking into houses all throughout the Gospels. Why does he do that? He's going to a lonely place. He's going to a thin place where he can just catch his breath for a moment, just for a moment, because if he doesn't, he's going to burn out. Let me just ask you a question. Are you feeling that weight of the big curse today? Are you feeling it? You know the definition of insanity, right? It's doing that same thing over and over and over again, but expecting a different result. What if God this morning is wanting to say to you, hey, let's get into a new rhythm. Let's break that curse. Let's find those little boat rides in the middle of the day where your soul can catch its breath with me, where you can have a mini Sabbath. Because here's the deal. You can't make it as a follower of Jesus if you don't pattern your life after his. You might want to jot that one down. You might want to post that one or tweet that one out. You can't make it. I can't make it as a follower of Jesus if we don't pattern our lives after his. And he was constantly in the middle of the big curse of noise, and he was consistently breaking it. Boarding a boat. And maybe you're sitting there going, Dave, I just don't get it. I don't own a boat. Do you own a car? Are you leasing a car? Do you have a commute? That could be your boat. Students, do you have a room in your home? Does it have a door on it? Go in and close the door. If you do that, you'll be doing exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, go into your room and close the door and just be with your Father. I'm going to be preaching about that in September, prayer at home. And one of the priorities of prayer is intimacy with the Father. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door. Maybe it is that bubble bath at the end of the day, Mom. And that's not just Calgon taking you away or whatever you use now. Boy, that was a late 70s reference, wasn't it? That's your little boat. For me, it's early in the morning. It's in my chair or on the back porch drinking coffee. But can you imagine what your life would look like a week from now if each day you created a little soul space and you stepped in to a little boat, even if it was 5 minutes, and caught your breath with the Father? I invite you this week to take Mark chapters 1-6 and just look back through the rhythm of how Jesus breaks the curse and boards the boat. What's really interesting, and I'll close with this, when we started in Mark chapter 6, he didn't just say, go get in a boat by yourself. He invited his followers to get into the boat with him. That's the difference in what Jesus is saying and what a pop psychologist would say or a spiritualist would say. Go center yourself. Go sit down on the inside with yourself. Jesus is saying, come sit down with me. Let me breathe into your soul through my word as you're catching your breath with me. What's going to be your little boat this week? And when are you going to get in it? Would you stand with me? I just want to give you a blessing. Man, if I can help you take a next step in your walk with God, your relationship with God, your life with God, fill out a little connect card. When we're dismissed in a second, come hand it to me in the pastor's coffee. Or if you don't like coffee, just come shake my hand. I'd love to get to know you. Or if you're going, I don't know yet. Okay, just leave it in the place where you're seated. I'll call you this week. And if you want to know what the next steps are to having a relationship with Jesus, tick that little box on the back that says what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you want to be baptized next week. I'd love to talk with you about that. Tick that one. Or maybe membership at Arapahoe Road. Tick that one. We've got a Connect class that's going to be starting the first week in September. There's information in the art about that. I'd love to help you take the next step. Let me give you a blessing. Would you hold your hands just like this? Like you're receiving something, and then Phil's going to come in a moment and lead us in our benediction. But just receive this week a healthy rhythm that Jesus portrays in his word. Break that curse of noise, busyness, stuff, and board a boat. Take a deep breath with your Father this week, who's in heaven. He wants your soul to breathe in this thing called life so that you can run all the way to the finish line. Pace yourself. You don't have to do it all today. It'll be on your shore tomorrow. Make sure your soul's going with you. Just take a moment and catch your breath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. People of God.